Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you for that, and welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of Chicago. If it sounds like I'm a little bit under the weather, then I probably am. I didn't know if I was going to be able to do the show today, but I'm going to give it a shot. Basically, I'm suffering, as so many other people are, from the abrupt change in the weather. Now, I said a few weeks ago on this show, maybe a couple of weeks, that when we were in the dead of winter, but we were having a mild winter, I'm saying that, you know, that we were being set up for the kill. And this is the kill right here. I mean, the weather has changed drastically from yesterday. Yesterday was in the 70s. Now it's in the 20s and 30s. So that's a drastic change from previous weather. So I mean, when you go through these type of changes, it messes with your body chemistry, you know, and your body is expecting it to be a certain way, and all of a sudden it goes another way. And your body gets confused, your mechanism, it gets confused, and all of a sudden it just breaks down, right? So we're getting that kill. I mean, the weather has been just atrocious. I mean, we go from one day we're wearing shorts, the next day we're wearing big winter thick coats and hats and skull caps and all of this kind of thing. Gloves. You got to dig out your gloves that you thought you had put away for a while, but you got to bring them back because the weather, it's just awful. It's just terrible. And I'm broadcasting from Chicago. If you're listening, I'm listening live. You can always podcast the show, download the show, and listen later. But you know, it's April 4th. Yeah, this is April. This is April. So we're basically, this is spring, and we're having winter-like weather, and a lot of people are under the weather because of it, including yours truly, and even people I know are sick of this. Ill or getting, you know, actually, if you say sick of this, we all are sick of this. We want summer to be, I mean, we want spring to come and then summer, hopefully. But this weather here has just been acting erratically. And I'm thinking there's something to climate change. I'm thinking there's something to that. And I'm not going to say I'm all the way a believer, but it's a possibility, you know, things have been so whacked out, I can become a believer. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. So we're gonna bypass the weather. My guest today is author Danielle Bose. We'll find out what she's all about as soon as she calls in and walks into the studio. We'll find that out. So it's been a really a whirlwind, and I haven't been on the radio for 3 days. I'm off Friday, Saturday, and Sunday because I have other things to do. But I'm on the air here 4 days a week. I start from 6 o'clock on, 6 p.m. On means it can be an hour and a half to 2 hours. I do no longer than that unless there's something that's really pressing. And in order for me to do. But I love doing the show. I always love doing this show. So, and I try to get book great guests for the show. Great guests. I believe in the near future, I'm going to even be getting more qualified guests, more guests talking about the things that I think this show should be, that we should be talking about on this show. All right, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. on the on Black Talk Radio. Folks, I'm freezing. I'm not freezing. I'm just, you know, I've been out in the, you know, running errands and all this kind of thing, and you'd be out here in this bad weather and you're not dressed properly or, you know, stuff like that. You'll come back, you know, and you're kind of still under the weather. This April 4th, I mean, I was surprised to hear this, to learn this, but maybe I should have known it. And this April 4th is the anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King's death. I think it occurred in Memphis, 1968, you know, at the Lorraine Hotel. Hopefully I'm right about that. But anyway, it is his anniversary, the anniversary of his death of being shot down. So in honor of that, I'm going to, sometime in the show, I'm going to do Martin Luther King and his 1963 speech, I Have a Dream. You know, so in honor of his assassination. And the guy who allegedly assassinated Martin Luther King, James Earl Jones, from my understanding, he passed away in 1998. And he always claimed that he was innocent, but there was too much evidence pointing toward him. And we can look forward to that. I'm gonna be listening to it myself because I just love the way this guy speak. I love the way he just format a speech. It's just great. It's just wonderful. And another one of my heroes is Malcolm X. So we'll talk about him later. So, yeah, this is the anniversary of Martin Luther King, his assassination, on the George Wilder Jr. Show, 347-857-1762. Wow. I mean, the weather is just, I don't know. It's just weird, man. It's just something you want to just say, hey, wow, go away. Never come back. You know, let spring be spring. But we had such a mild winter. It was just such a mild winter, 60s and 70s in the wintertime. And I remember doing that show and saying that we are being set up for the kill, and we are getting killed right now. We got snow everywhere. You got 15 million people are impacted by a spring snowstorm all over the United States. But there are some areas that are very, very nice, very warm, because I think the Cubs are playing in these, the Cubs and White Sox are playing their opener in a lot of these great states, warm states, right? Yeah, the opener today are for these guys, and we'll see what that's about. Okay, so we having a cold spring, if I should just summarize it and just say a cold spring here in Illinois. And, you know, we're not just getting it in Illinois. It's being felt around the United States. It is cold. It is unorthodox. The meteorologists, if I can call them meteorologists, I'd rather call them weathermen and women. But they're saying that it's brace ourselves because we're going to have it's going to be cold for the rest of the week. So, you know, so spring hasn't gotten here yet. Okay. We still, according to the meteorologists, we're still in the dead of winter. Well, they don't have to tell me that because I feel it. I feel it. Okay, that's enough about the weather. We all got that. So if you listen to this, well, if you podcast this show, download it, and you listen to it in the summertime, then you'll know that it's a previous show. But it, but you know, all my previous shows are good shows. So everybody, regardless of the date and time of the show. So Don't ever feel taken back by if you're listening to one of my best of shows, because they're just as good as anything. I've been told, and by people of high stature. Okay, in California and New York, these bless their souls, they've just raised the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Raise the minimum age, the minimum wage in those states. From New York to California, from California to New York, from coast to coast, from the West Coast, I mean from the East Coast to the West Coast. They have raised the minimum wage, folks. I had to think about it for a while because that's not going to happen in Illinois. These people in Illinois, they want to lower the minimum wage, and the minimum wage in Illinois is $8.25. But in some states around the United States, it's $7.25. Then a few states, it might be $10. But hopefully what they've done in California and New York can reverberate around the whole country. But this has to be an act of Congress. And right now, I don't think Congress, I mean, it's a Republican Congress, and it's not going to happen. Just like in the state of Illinois, raising the minimum wage in the state of Illinois is not going to happen because we got Bruce Rauner. And this guy is dead fast on not getting money or having money for anything. Anything. He doesn't give a damn. Your grandmother could die because of this. He doesn't care. I mean, that's the truth. He doesn't care, folks. We are in the 10th month of in Illinois without a budget. These people don't care. And I do not only just blame Bruce Rauner, but I also blame the legislature. But the legislature can't do anything until, from my understanding, can't do anything until November. So, you know, for whatever reasons, I'm thinking it has something to do with the vote. So we've been out of but Rauner, he can open up the purse, but he won't do it. The House of Representatives in Illinois, they are the ones with the purse strings. They are the ones with the purse strings. And they send these bills, these spending bills, over to Rauner, and he either rejects them or lets them sit there. And therefore, the state suffers. I've heard people call, and they're rightly to call him a deadbeat governor. He's a deadbeat governor. I call him a failed governor. All of these adjectives people are adding at the beginning of his name, and it doesn't faze him. It doesn't faze this guy. He wants his turnaround agenda, which includes dismantling and weakening government unions. And then if we give him that, he will fund these schools and universities along with the colleges. This guy is just, he wants to see chaos. He wants to see chaos so he can blame others. I know some of you folks out there are sick and tired of me talking about Bruce Rauner. But you have to understand, I live in this state. And I care about this state. And I hate this guy. I hate that he's gotten in the office and just trying to just destroy the state. He's just trying to destroy the state. He wants to destroy it. And once the state is completely dismantled, he thinks that you are going to put in Republicans because Democrats have failed. This is what but the only failure here is Bruce Rauner himself. See, he's going to go, once this state is totally, totally not a state anymore, he's going to blame the Democrats for it. He's going to blame everything on them. Because, you see, right now, Rauner is weakened, and he's pissed off about that. He is weakened, but he doesn't want you to think that he's weakened. But he is weakened, and we all know that. So he's going to stick to his horrible agenda. Even his Republican colleagues are telling him to stop this lunacy and this craziness with the budget. Colleagues are telling him this. Ex-governors of this state are telling him to stop the madness and get a budget for the state of Illinois. It's the law. It's in the Illinois Constitution that a governor passes a budget for the state of Illinois every year. Just like every other Republican, Bruce Rauner takes a dump on the Constitution. Just like every other Republican, he takes a damn dump. He doesn't care about what's in the Constitution. He doesn't care about what's right. All he cares about is what he wants. It's what he wants. Every time he comes out of wherever he comes out of, maybe the woodwork, he walks up to a mic. Most of the time he's by himself. And he just talks. And basically, if you break down or if you summarize what he's saying, basically, he talks for about 5 or 10 minutes, maybe less. But if you summarize or break down what he's saying, basically, he's saying, do it my way or it will not get done. It's my way or the highway. Do it my way or it will not get done. Now, he'll talk for 5 or 10 minutes just to say that. He will not take questions from the press, from reporters. He will not take questions from the public. He'll just say what he has to say, my way to highway. He disappears again, away from the cameras. And every time he walks away, reporters are rushing up behind him with mics, trying to ask him some follow-up questions. But Bruce Rauner is not a Q&A kind of a person. I don't think he's a people person, actually. He's not a people person. He doesn't love people. He'll claim that he does. He'll, you know, blame others. I want this. I want that for the schools. I want this for the state. I want that. But his action proves that he doesn't. That he does not want anything. He wants this state to go under. And it's going under. We still haven't got a budget. People have lost their jobs, the disabled, the elderly, you name it. It's been upended in the state of Illinois. People are calling this governor a governor without a conscience, a governor without feelings, a governor without morals. There are some people calling him nasty names. I'm not going to mention that on this show, but I'm with them. I'm not going to mention. He is a governor without a conscience, without morals. And he doesn't need to be here in Illinois. In the entire existence of this state, there's never been a time that it did not have a budget was passed. A budget simply means that a state is free to spend money and to pay its bills. I mean, if you and I, we didn't pay our bills, we'd be in big trouble. They would have the collection agencies after us. In some cases, if you don't pay your bills, you're going to go to jail. So my thinking is, by him not paying the state's bills, by drafting and passing a budget, this is total corruption. And there are so many petitions going around social media calling for this guy to be impeached or recalled or just plain old thrown out of office. And I totally agree with that. I totally agree because he's not doing his job. And he's claiming that the Democratic legislature in Illinois is not letting him do his job. Or he's doing his job. He's doing something, but he's not doing his job. What he's doing is hurting people left and right and left, and it's unconscionable. It's mean-spirited. But if you ask him about this, if you talk to him about this, if he walks up to a damn mic, he's going to blame. He's going to throw the blame. He doesn't realize that he's the governor of a state. If anything on in that state, no matter what it is, he takes the blame. He is the leader. Well, supposedly he is the leader because, like, as I've said several times, this guy doesn't know how to lead. He can lead his way out of a paper bag. I mean, he's no leader. And that is showing that he's no leader. That is showing, you know, but he wants to privatize everything. He wants to take over the schools. He wants to control everything. The other day, he tried to stop the schools from borrowing. And the attorney general said he doesn't have the power to do that. That's another setback for this guy. Now, he's trying to stop the public schools from borrowing money that they need. That's like him trying to stop you or me from borrowing to pay our bills. And they abruptly told him, you don't have the right or the authority to stop the schools from borrowing money. Bruce Rauner will try to stop federal money from coming in Illinois to pay bills. He'll try to stop that money that has nothing to do with the budget, nothing to do with Kim, but he'll try to stop it. The guy is just, I don't know. Some people call him a devil. You know, I don't want to go that far. And they call him other things too, real nasty names, but he takes it. He knows it. He knows a lot of people out here that don't like him. I would like to say this, that Bruce Rauner, I mean, on his first day in office, he said a lot of people were not going to like him for what he's going to do. Now, he said this. Go back and YouTube it or whatever you want to do. But he said that a lot of people were not going to like him. Bruce, I'm going to tell you something, man. People not only do not like you, they despise you. And by not being liked, you cannot run a government without being liked. You cannot run a government if the whole state, 90% of the state, do not like you. You have to have people on your side. You have to work with people to get things done. If everybody dislike you, you can't get anything done. So you might as well quit. But Bruce Rauner is not going to quit. He's not going to resign. I don't know about him being recalled because there's no real outcry for this guy on being recalled. There's no real outcry. I'm just hoping that someday that there will be, because the guy is corrupt and we all know it. He's a deadbeat governor. We all know that. And we just have to do something in the state of Illinois because we are hurting here. We are very, very, very hurting. And this guy is just, you know, rubbing it all in.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. And so just as I say, we aren't going to let any dogs or water hoses turn us around. We aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. Know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air.
Every now and then we add a little silliness to the show to try to break the monotony. The Supreme Court, I believe they upheld the one person, one vote. That lives. I mean, that's great. That's great. The Republicans trying to gerrymander this thing, and they trying to mess with the elections, suppress the vote and all of this. And the Supreme Court said, no. That's great if you've heard about that. So let's click on that and see what else is saying. That's a great thing. I think they was trying to mess with the Hispanics on this one, but they did not do a good job on that. And okay, Supreme Court deals a blow to conservatives in major voting rights case. A different ruling would have shifted power away from the Democratic-leaning areas. This is what I'm saying. This is just another way for them to suppress the vote. That's all it is. I mean, and they did not get away with it. And I'm going to say this. This is a blow for Governor Rauner because he is a staunch Republican. And, because he wants to make this, I don't know, on the map it says Illinois is a red state politically. However, this is not a red state, folks. This is a blue state. We just got a Republican governor. And the only reason why we've got this governor, the only reason why this governor is elected because, and I can say the same thing for a lot of the governors around the country, especially in the southern part of the country. A lot of these Republican governors were sailed into office because African-Americans, people of color, did not vote. They got their butts in office because people did not vote. And they know this. This is why they're trying to mess with the voting mechanisms. The way voting should be. This is why. And they lost. The Supreme Court. They lost. One person, one vote. That's great. And it still lives. It's alive. You know, the Republicans didn't want that. They did not want that. They lost. And they're pissed off about it. They always pissed off when they lose. But it's a good thing for Democrats. It's a good thing for Americans, especially the middle class, working class Americans. I want to say something to those people out there who do not vote. This is what you get when you don't vote. I've said this several times. When you do not vote, do not ever think that your vote does not count. Even when you do not vote, that vote counts because that vote goes towards the other side. When you don't vote, Republicans get into office and they're going to wreak hell on your state, on your life, on your kids, on everything. So it pays to get out here and do your duty. This is why we get all these Republicans in these states. They're the 1%. You're the 99%ers. There's more of us than there are of them. If these guys get in, it means simply that you did not vote. And a lot of these guys are rich, and they're buying up the office. They're buying up politicians. They're buying your vote. They can't get in. These guys can't get in the office in an honorable way, a positive way, the right way. They got to cheat. And then when they cheat, they're blaming the other person because they cheated and got in. But the most important thing, this is a great thing the Supreme Court did. So now there should be no excuse, not one iota of an excuse for people not to get their butts out there and vote. You do this, these scoundrels will not get into office. You do this, and they will not get into office.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.
All right. My guest, Danielle Boyce, she's expected to be on the show. She hasn't shown up yet, or she hasn't called in yet. There's nothing on my board. So hopefully she'll show up. Maybe not, you know, but it's so damn cold. You know, people probably staying home and cuddling up or under the covers or something. You know, I mean, it is really, really awful out here. It's freezing, man. You know, and I'm always the type, you know, I never did care too much for the cold. And people would say, if you don't care too much for the cold, then why are you been in Chicago all this time? I said, well, I don't know. But I guess I must like it, right? All right. Supreme Court deals a blow to conservatives in major voting rights case. This is something. Let's go down. Okay, Democrats and voting rights advocates won a huge victory at the Supreme Court on Monday with a unanimous decision preserving, that's great. Isn't that wonderful? I love that word. The way the state legislature districts are currently drawn. In the case of Evenwell and Abbott, conservatives in Texas argue that the votes, eligible voters like themselves, are unconstitutional, diluted because of their state counts non-voters when voting its legislative districts. Specifically, Texas uses total population data. Okay, all right, I seem to understand, which includes children, inmates, disenfranchised, ex-felons, non-citizens, immigrants, and others who are unable to vote. But that's all up in the air now. That's all right. People can vote. It's one citizen, it's one vote. It doesn't matter whether if you are an inmate, disenfranchised, a non-citizen, you can vote. And it doesn't say anything about having an ID, okay? I would suggest if you do have IDs, take them to the polls, you know, so you don't have to get into no big fight or no big thing with these people. If you're ineligible to vote, register to vote, and, you know, on your way to the polls, take your ID. Okay? All right, but that's good news. That is great news. All right, we're still waiting on my guest for the show. Maybe she'll call in, maybe. All right, let's move right along. We said talked about California. We've talked about this, and it's Martin Luther King's anniversary of his assassination. 347-857-1762. Yeah, it is cold outside. I'm in my studio, folks. I'm in my studio, and I have this great big window in front of me. So I'm looking out on the avenue, watching people go back and forth and all that kind of thing. And it's gray, it's dull, it's cold, it's snowing. I've got the heater right here by my feet, you know. So, boy, it is doing its duty. It is working overtime because it is something. And springtime, but it doesn't feel like spring, folks. This feels like the dead of winter, January, you know. But I think we're getting this because of the mild winter that we just had, you know. And we are getting it, folks. It is coming because it just says here 15 million people are impacted. And I'm pretty sure that includes the folks in Illinois also. All right. There's going to be some primary voting going on tomorrow in Wisconsin, as you probably heard, as you probably already know. But it seems like Cruz and Sanders, from by all reports, Cruz and Sanders are going to pull this thing out. I'm all for Bernie Sanders. You know, I'm all for Bernie Sanders. I never stopped being for Bernie Sanders. And I love the momentum that he has. I love the momentum that he's getting because the Hillary Clinton had all just but written him off until he started winning. Because Hillary Clinton had written Sanders off and started focusing on Trump. But with Sanders' momentum, she had to say, hey, wow, I got to back off of Trump and get back over here on Sanders because he's coming up behind me and he's coming up fast. So, I've got nothing against Hillary, but I just don't think she'll be the president that Sanders would be. And I'm hoping like hell that Sanders wins. So you guys get out there and you put Sanders over. And I'm talking about in Wisconsin, New York, California. They're talking about she still has a delicate lead, so it doesn't really matter whether he wins in Wisconsin or not. But I beg to differ. I think it's going to be great because the momentum is going to be there. His supporters are going to see that, and he's going to gain more supporters by that. You know, so I am in Sanders' corner. I think he's a great guy. I think he's been a politician for over 40 years, and he's basically been saying the same thing that he's saying now. So he has to have some sort of a trustworthiness among the young people, the women, the people of color, Hispanics, because they believe him. And he's not, I don't think he's that typical kind of politician that we all are used to, you know. So, and he seems more honest. If you think about it, Sanders seems more honest than Clinton. Okay. We all know that Clinton is Wall Street. She's accepting her money from Wall Street and Goldman Sachs and people like that. Sanders' money is coming from grassroots people, people sending him $5, $10, $100. That's where he's getting his money from. Hillary Clinton have to give, and they're going to pay, and they give her money. And we're all wondering, what is she saying in those speeches to get all that cash? She's got to be saying something that makes them want to flood her campaign with millions and millions and millions of dollars. She can't be saying, I'm going to dismantle you. I'm going to fight you. You can't be saying that to people who are paying you to put your TV, your ads on television, paying you to go speak places and to be places. You got to say what they want you to hear. Because to me, if she's taking money from all these unscrupulous places, then she's going to be bought and paid for just like every other politician in Congress. She's going to be a puppet to these people who have given her money. And she's just going around the country lying just to get your vote so she can get in there and wreak havoc. I mean, Bill Clinton, her husband, I mean, you just look at this guy. He wants his wife in the White House so badly. he's out there looking like a look like he should be in the hospital somewhere with a tube up his nose or something. However, we've got to do it this way. If Sanders does not get the nomination, then we're going to all have to hold our noses and vote for Hillary Clinton. She, regardless of her problems, regardless of her baggage, she's better than Ted Cruz, and she would be a whole lot better than a Donald Trump. And that's no joke. Okay, we did this. We did this. Democrats and voting rights advocates won a big, huge victory at the Supreme Court on Monday. That's great. The day happens to be Monday. This is it. And Republicans are totally beside themselves. Totally, totally. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio at 6:40. I'm thinking that my guests will not show up. That's okay. That's fine. We can always do the show together, you know. 347-857-1762. That's fine. And this is the anniversary, April 4th, which is today, the day of this show. It's Monday. I've been off for 3 days, so give me a break. I'm trying to get back in the groove. The anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King. And we're going to do, in a little while, we're going to do his 1963 I Have a Dream speech in honor of the anniversary of his assassination in 1968. It's got to be something, folks. All right, we'll be right back. Stay with me.
At this time, I have the honor to present to you the moral leader of our nation. I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro is still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today to dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. Believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. So we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This sweltering summer of the Negro's legitimate discontent will not pass until that is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. Those who hope that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content will have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual. There will be neither rest nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship rights. The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But that is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. We must forever conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protests to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. And the marvelous new militancy which has engulfed the Negro community must not lead us to a distrust of all white people. For many of our white brothers, as evidenced by their presence here today, have come to realize that their destiny is tied up with our destiny. And they have come to realize that their freedom is inextricably bound to our freedom. We cannot walk alone. And as we walk, we must make the pledge that we shall always march ahead. We cannot turn back. There are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied? We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. We can never be satisfied. As long as our bodies, heavy with the fatigue of travel, cannot gain lodging in the motels of the highways and the hotels of the cities. We cannot be satisfied as long as the Negro's basic mobility is from a smaller ghetto to a larger one. We can never be satisfied as long as our children are stripped of their selfhood and robbed of their dignity by signs stating for whites only. We cannot be satisfied as long as a Negro in Mississippi cannot vote and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. No, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. am not unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulations. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution and staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities. Knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims' pride, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, and when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
Oh, wow. What a great speech. I mean, that speech will live in infamy. That will go down in world history. It has already gone down in world history. What a great speech. And I'm doing that because this is April 4th, the anniversary of the death, the assassination of Martin Luther King. And, you know, every now and then I'll play it because it actually moves me. I would think it would move anybody, black, white, green, or yellow. It's a speech of movement. And there you have it. There you have it. And once again, I want to apologize. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. It's 31 degrees, light snow in Chicago. It's 7:02 p.m. Chicago time. And it's cold. It's snowing. I've said enough about it's what it is. We just have to prepare for it and be ready for it and stay safe. And also, I want to apologize for if any of you out there were expecting for me to have author Danielle Bros. I have a problem with names for some reason. Danielle Bros. I apologize if you were expecting her. She's an author, life coach. Obviously, something held her up. Maybe she forgot. A lot of times, when you book guests for your show, a lot of times they don't even write this stuff down. They're so busy doing this and doing that. It's easily to, you know, something like this would probably skip her mind, you know, something like this. But you would think most people would write. I'm not blaming her now. I'm not saying maybe something unforeseen happened, but I'm saying I apologize to everybody out there who were expecting to hear from her. I was expecting to hear from her also, so you're not alone. Maybe next time I will try and get in touch with her after the show is over, find out what went wrong, if anything. But anyway, that's what happens. That's what happens when you're in the interviewing business and your talk show host, whether it's radio or television, you know, sometimes guests, they don't show up. And then when they don't show up, you know, you're not at a loss because the show must go on. It must go on. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Folks, thanks for being with me. I will be right back. We'll be right back.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Welcome back, folks. Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. You know, I've been approached a few times or so on social media and other places where, and people ask me, how do you do a radio show? How do you become a radio host? And I, you know, it took me a long time to actually air this out on the radio, except for the things that I do love about radio. I do love having a show. I do love doing the show. I know every guest is not going to appear on the show that I book, and that's fine. But when people start asking me about, George, I want a radio show just like yours, you know, and I'll just say, do it. And then some people will ask me, what does it take? What does it take to be a successful radio host? And, you know, I have to dig in the I have to dig in the back of my brain and pull it out. What does it take to be a – but I do know – anything you want to do, it doesn't have to be a radio host. You can be, you know, a senator or representative or a chef or whatever you want to be. You have to really, really want to do it. You have to really want to do it. You have to set your mind there to really, really want to do it. And in order to be successful at it, you're going to have talent. You just can't jump into something without talent. We all have talent. We just got to dig down in ourselves and pull it out. It's there. Pull out that talent and do anything you want. It doesn't have to be a radio host, you know, of a radio show, but it's great. It's fun. I love it. But you have to have talent. And it's not that easy being a radio host, because for one or two or three or four years, you may go without any listeners, without any guests, because you have to audience. You have to build an audience. And the way you build an audience, you have to be on just about every day at the same time. You can't be all over the place. You have to have a set time. I'm going to be on 5 days a week, starting at 7 o'clock till 3 o'clock or whatever. And you have to keep that format for that show, because if you keep it, people will find you. And they'll know time you're going to be on the air every time that they want to listen to you. Well, hey, Joan Smith is on the air right now. We're going to check her out, you know. So you have to set a format, because this is what I've learned being on the radio. And I love it. I love this. You know, I love doing what I'm doing. And I love it that the show is able to be in podcast, so people can listen to it anytime they want. Hey, there's a lot of, and another thing you have to realize, there's a lot of competition out there. But in some ways, I don't see it as competition. I see it as we're all working together. There's listeners out there for every host. You just gotta, you know, get what genre you want to broadcast in, entertainment, politics, family, whatever you want to broadcast in, pick your genre, and you will have your base will be from that genre that you've picked. But most of all, you have to want to do it. You have to have a passion to do radio, be a host, and you have to have a thick, I'm bound to say thick skin, and you have to have a thick skin, because you're going to get some callers that's going to call into your show and curse you out. You're going to get some callers going to say nasty, rotten things. Not everybody. I think about 98% of the people who call into my show are wonderful people, great people. But every now and then, you're going to get that asshole who's going to call into your show and say something rude, and then you're going to have to, you know, cut them off. But even that's fun, because you're going to, you can always talk about them after you done cut them off, you know. But that's to be expected because you know what? You cannot please everyone. Everyone is not going to be happy with anything that you do. But majority of the people with level-headed thinking will. So, you know, I mean, doesn't have to be radio. Anything you want to do, set your mind to it and go out and do it. Because we're living in a world now where everything is uncertain. Things have just whacked out. And it's going to take talent and know-how and drive to get you where you want to go. Do not sit around the house expecting somebody to knock on your door and hand you $1 million. It's not going to happen. You have to get out there, go out there and find what you want and then do it. Or you're going to be left behind. I tell my young son this all the time. Does he listen? I think he does. And I tell him all the time, you can do anything you want to do. Just have the talent to do it and the will and the drive and get out there and do it. There's too many people out there who do not utilize their talent. This is why they're stuck in the rut that they are in.
Well, I can't dance. I can't sing. I can't write. I can't read.
Then learn to do those things. You can always learn to write. You can always learn to read. You can always learn to dance. You can learn to act if that's what you're into. But if you wanted to be a doctor, lawyer, see accountant, social worker, librarian, you have to get out there and do it. Politician. Wow, politician. I don't know, man. I don't know about politicians, you know, because we all see politicians as liars and thugs and wanting to hurt people, especially, you know, especially Republicans, most of them. Not all Republicans are bad. Don't get me wrong. I don't like bashing Republicans. I even voted Republican once or twice in my life. So it's not bad, but the Republican Party has changed so drastically. I mean, these are just a bunch of angry, old, pissed off, hateful white men that want to screw up America. And we as independents, as Democrats, as progressives, as liberals, we have to put a halt to that. And we can do that by voting. Voting, you know, so and we did a good job in March of the primaries, but we got to keep it up. We got to keep this up because of the Republicans. If Republicans get in office, we're screwed. Donald Trump, we're screwed. Ted Cruz, we even more screwed. You know, so we have to get a Democrat or an independent into office. And I don't think an independent is running unless it's Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders. And the only reason why Bernie Sanders became an independent, just like I have, because we get pissed off. We were pissed off at the both sides. We're pissed off at Democrats, pissed off at Republicans, and we decide to leave both of them and just become an independent. That way you can criticize each party. But most independents are always leaning Democratic. There's no doubt about that. And that's what conservatives are thinking right now. Because you don't hear too many conservatives calling themselves independent. But you do hear a lot of former Democrats calling themselves independent, which is good. I think it's great. I'm an independent, like I've said many times on this show. Many times. But I have voted Republican once or twice in my life. I didn't regret it. But I've never done it again. And will not do it again. You know. So... Oh, getting back to being a radio host. All right. I'm always going off in left field somewhere. But anyway, getting back to being a radio host, I think it's a beautiful thing. A lot of people can have – you don't necessarily need to be in a studio to do your radio show. You really don't. A lot of people who have radio shows, whether it's an internet radio show or over-the-air or traditional radio, they're broadcasting – straight from their house. They're broadcasting from their homes or their apartments. I mean, you'll find a lot of radio hosts broadcasting from the basement of their house. then you have, I've seen some radio hosts broadcasting from their kitchens, from their kitchen table. You know, some people might broadcast from their bedrooms, you know, so you don't have to go out nowhere. You can have your radio show like myself. I have a studio and this is where I do my radio show from. Why pay extra rent somewhere to have, where you can do this stuff right at home? There's so many radio show hosts who are broadcasting straight out of their home. Basically, all you need is a computer and a few microphones, a desk, books. You want to make your space look like a radio, actual radio studio. So, like I said before, I've had lots of people ask me, "What is it like having a radio show?" And I'm gonna expand on this some more during the week. About what it takes to be a radio show, because people are curious about it. But there are some people that I know, great people, wonderful people, smart people, but they don't think they can handle being a radio host. And one of the things is you have to like people. You have to be able to get along with people. Now, I'm thinking a lot of people are not becoming radio hosts because they just can't get along with people. If you don't like people, then this is not the career for you. Okay? If you can't stand people, if you shy and can't read, can't write, and don't give, not for you. Okay? The only reason I felt that this radio show was for me is because people kept telling me I had a great voice, a good voice. And every now and then I would record my voice and see how I sounded. And I said, whoa, wow, let me give this radio hosting a try. And because I've been thinking about doing a radio show long before I actually started. Oh, yeah, I was doing long before I actually started. I remember as a young child and a young teenager, visiting my grandmother, Mary Collins, and she would always have her radio on a talk show, a news station. And it would be down low. I think I've written about this. And it would be down low. She would have it down low, and she would invite me into her home. And the first thing she would say, would you like anything to eat? Most of the time I'd say yes. And she was... And I credit her for actually getting me into wanting to be a radio show host, because she would always have her radio down low on it would be WBBM, if I can throw that out there, the new all news 24 hours news station. And she would always have it down low, and her house was always clean. It was totally impeccable. It was so clean. Sometimes I would feel regretful just by sitting down, because I might, dirty up something. Because I was a kid. I was a teenager. And but she always welcomed me. She used to tell me, I remember her story. She used to tell me as a little girl, she used to pick cotton. I think that's about all I could ever get out of her to talk about her past, was that she was a... My grandmother passed away in 2012, so that was 4 years ago. And she used to tell me, she was 97. Folks, she was 97 years old. And she used to tell me that she used to pick cotton when she was a little girl out in the fields, I believe it was Mississippi or something, down there during those plantation times. And I wanted to ask her about her mother and her mother's mother, because I had a feeling there was probably slaves. But anyway, she was the driving force, not the driving force, but maybe one of the driving forces in me landing and getting and deciding to take on to do a radio show like this. I mean, when I first started doing this show, I was scared as hell, folks. I mean, I was like, nobody gonna call me. Ain't nobody gonna. But, I learned a lot, and I learned a lot about having this show on my own. Nobody told me anything. I mean, I read a lot. I researched a lot, but I did it all myself. There was nobody else there to do it. I wanted my son to kind of, you know, incorporate himself into what I was doing, but he was too busy doing his own thing, whatever that is or was. And I wind up doing this whole thing by myself, but it was fun. It was fun. I made everything that I do, I try to make it fun, because if it's not fun, I don't want to do it. It ain't going to happen. You know, it's got to be funny. It's got to make me laugh. That's why I write. When I start writing, it has to be fun for me, because if it's fun for me and if it's good for me, it's going to be good for you, the reader, once you download that book onto your Kindle or to your e-reader or whatever. You're going to have a good time, because I had a good time writing it. And when I'm writing, I'm going, wow, this is great. Man, this is fun. Let me put this. Oh, man, that's funny. That sounds good. You got to enjoy what you're doing. Basically, is what I'm saying. Enjoy what you're doing and get it. Go out and take it legally. Go out. Go out. And, you know, do what you can do. You know, a lot of people on the south and west sides of the cities, you know, I feel sorry for some of those folks, because some of those folks aren't utilizing their God-given talents. I mean, when you're standing on the corner smoking dope, being a prostitute or drive-by shootings, you know, you're not using your God-given talents for nothing. You're not using, you're using the devil's talents or whatever you want to call it, if that's a term. But anyway, a lot of those people aren't using your talent. Everybody has a talent, you know. I mean, we all have talent, but we just gotta dig down. Everybody has a talent to do something besides stand on the street corners, besides shoot people, robbing stores, gang banging and thugging. We can do it. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. This is fun. This is, like I said, folks, this is fun. This is great fun. And I want to apologize again for my guest, author Danielle Bros. If some of you were expecting her to be on the show, she didn't show up. I'm going to contact her later and find out what happened. She may or may not be back on the show. Depends on what she tells me. You know, so and another thing about being a radio host, you can always accept people and you can reject people. A lot of the people that I reject, I don't reject them out of because I'm a big time radio host. I you know, sometimes I have to reject people because I get so many in my email and inbox that everybody, you know, you can't. You can't book everybody. You know, you can't, you just try to book the people that you can, and you try to book the people that's going to fit the genre of your show. My show is political, but a lot of times I don't have political guests on the show. You know, I'll have authors, life coaches, relationship coaches, books in general. I've had people on my show talking about vampires, and I don't do vampires. But it's interesting, though. It's interesting because a lot of people out there, they're crazy about vampires. I used to be. I'm not anymore. You know, so, but I look at this show as a variety show. Some of everything. You might see some of everything on this show or hear some of everything on this show. Oh, yes, I've been asked to be on television, but I turned that down. And being behind the radio is good enough for me. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. It's 7:25 straight up Chicago time. Wow, where has the time gone? Where has the time gone? All right, folks, thank you so much for being here. All right, we'll be right back. Open our eyes. Welcome back to the George Waddle Jr. Show. We're just about off the Welcome back to the George Waddle Jr. Show. We're just about off the air. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to apologize that my guest didn't show up today, but try tomorrow. All right. We're off the air, ladies and gentlemen. You've been listening to the George Waddle Jr. Show. Catch me. All right. Catch me tomorrow. Problems, right? But yet I didn't have a guest. I don't know what happened to her black ass. That's okay. She won't be on.